the text for the sermon this morning, verse 1, as we begin this new sermon series on Mark's Gospel. But two readings, first of all, from later in the book, both of them very important to the theme of Mark's Gospel. And we first read from verse 27 through to the end of the chapter of Mark 8. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he went to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And turn also to the last chapter of the Gospel, where we take up the reading from verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. And so, way back in Mark's opening chapter, the text for the sermon is verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We consider just this one verse today by way of an introductory sermon. Our usual practice will be to consider an event in the life of Jesus, or perhaps a series of connected events. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. E. V. Ryu was a translator for Oxford University Press. He was an expert in the Greek language, and he was asked to do a translation of the 4 Gospels into modern English. Now, Dr. Ryu was not a believer, but his son was. And when his son found out that his dad was going to do this translation work, the son said, "It will be interesting to see what Father makes of the Gospels. It'll be still more interesting to see what the Gospels make of Father." And in less than a year, Dr. Ryu had joined the Church of England, convinced now that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And today it is our privilege to begin a study of the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel is the shortest of the four. It's notable especially because it's very fast-paced. You often encounter the word immediately. It's also notable because of some of the things that it doesn't mention. For instance, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is not mentioned in Mark's Gospel. In fact, it has been described by many as an extended account of Jesus' death with an introduction. And that's because there are 16 chapters. The first 8 chapters cover 3 years. The last 8 chapters cover 6 months. And 5 of those chapters cover 8 days. And if you look quickly at chapter 1, verse 27, you will see there that the people were all so amazed, they asked each other, "What is this?" And in chapter 2, verse 7, another question is asked, "Why does this fellow talk like that?" And there are 7 questions like these asked throughout the first 8 chapters. And then at the end of chapter 8, you get that passage we just looked at, when Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ." All of those questions are answered. And then from that point on, Jesus explains what he came to do, and then Jesus does what he came to do in the rest of the gospel. So coming face to face with Jesus changed the disciples. Coming face to face with Jesus changed Dr. Ryu. And the question is for us, how will coming face to face with the gospels change us? How will Mark's gospel affect what you believe about Jesus? How will Mark's gospel affect what you know about yourself? How will Mark's gospel change your theology? How will Mark's gospel change your behavior? How will Mark's gospel affect those people that you influence at home and at work or at school? What will Mark's gospel make of you and me? My prayer is that our face-to-face encounter with Jesus would change each one of us. May it be that those who do not confess Jesus as Christ and Savior now soon be able to say with Peter, "You are the Christ." And may it be that those of us who do know Jesus as Savior and Lord become better servants of the Lord Jesus Christ because of our encounter with Jesus in Mark's Gospel. So verse 1, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus, the Son of God. And today we simply consider the 3 main words of this verse: beginning, Gospel, and then Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we're going to do so, first of all, looking at the word gospel, then looking at Jesus' title, and then we will end with the beginning. So first of all, the gospel. Gospel is a word that we use to describe the first 4 books of the New Testament. And when we do that, we use a capital G. But we also use the word to describe the message about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we use a little g. The word gospel comes from the English, the Old English, God's spell. And it simply means good news. And the word is used here because the original Greek word that it translates is euangelion, you, good, angelion, message. Good message, good announcement, good news. But that word euangelion was not specific to Christianity. It was already in use in Roman culture and in Jewish culture. In Roman culture, it had to do with announcements about the birth of a son to the emperor, or a new emperor being crowned. So an euangelion would go throughout the empire. Good news! The emperor's son has been born. An historical event that would affect the situation of the world was announced as good news. Last year we went through a similar scenario. We heard that Princess Catherine was expecting a child, and we knew that that child would one day be King of England. And so we waited and we waited, and eventually we heard the news: Prince George has been born safe and well. The good news was made known because it will affect all of the people in the empire. But the Jewish understanding of Euangelion was a little bit different. As you can see in chapter 1, in the next few verses, Mark immediately goes back to the Old Testament prophets. And that is because in the Jewish sense of the word, Euangelion was to do with the coming of the Messiah, the prophecies about Messiah who would come. Good news was a future thing. If you were to go up to a Jew and say, "What's the good news?" they would tell you, "Messiah's coming. It says so in the prophets." So whatever way you look at it, the gospel is good news, great news, wonderful news. Why? Why is this good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And here we look next at the title. As we noted a moment ago, for the Romans, good news was about something that had just happened, whilst for the Jews, good news was about something that was going to happen. But in the Christian gospel, it's all boiled together. If you look at verse 14, you will see there that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And Jesus had not yet died. The kingdom of God was still to be ushered in its fullness. So to what was Jesus referring? Himself. "I have come. I am the good news. Repent and believe." Now, there were all sorts of ideas around at the time as to what the good news really would look like when it came. For most of the Jews at that time, the bad news was the Romans. So the good news was a king who would come and smash the Romans and he would rule again. That's the good news. But that was a wrong understanding of not only the good news, but also of the bad news. So to truly understand the good news, you need to properly understand the bad news. Imagine this scenario. Tomorrow you are at home, there is a knock on the door, you go out, and a courier is standing there with a piece of plastic pipe, and he gives you the pipe, and he gets in his van, and he drives away. You're standing there with this plastic pipe going, so you hang it on the wall in the garage maybe. But you live at number 42 Town Street. Down at number 32 Town Street, there is a man who has a leak all over his floor because the pipe under the sink has busted, and he's rung the plumbing store and they've sent someone around with a pipe. Now, if that pipe had come to that person, that would be good news. He needs that pipe because he knows the problem that he's got, a busted pipe. So to understand the good news, you need first to understand the bad news. And the bad news at the time of Jesus is the same bad news today. We human beings have a problem. It's called sin. It affects the world that we live in, and it affects each one of us. In this past week, if you've been following the news at all, you'll know there are some pretty horrific murder trials going on involving gang members, husband and wife, jealousy and anger. You will have seen snowstorms and flooding happening in England and Europe and the east coasts of the USA. You will have seen a bunch of orca lying dead on the coastline of New Zealand. These things are all sad. Clearly not what it is meant to be. Each day we are hearing more and more details about the miserable end of the life of Philip Seymour Hoffman, a Hollywood actor who had it all, but who turned out to be a junkie, who leaves behind a wife and three young children. And while I look out and see a room full of shiny people sitting there in church, and you look up at the pulpit and see another shiny person standing there in church, if we could plug the minds of each one of us into some sort of a machine and play it on the screen there, it would be very embarrassing. None of us would want that to happen. Because in our hearts, there is lying, cheating, envy, greed, lust, selfishness, laziness. How are the relationships between husbands and wives, between parent and child, employer and employee? Has there been selfless love, perfect allegiance, complete respect, wholehearted obedience, or maybe some mixed with a lot of failure? The Bible calls it sin. It's in the world. It's in every one of us. It's in our DNA. It's in our hearts and our minds and our bodies. It's why we eventually die. There is something terribly wrong with us and with our world. That's the bad news. But Jesus came and said, "Repent and believe the good news." Why believe in Jesus? Because his name is Jesus, which means Savior. We're told in Matthew 1:21 that he came to save his people from their sins. He is like you. We are his people. He is a human being. He came to die on the cross to pay for the sins that we have committed. But he is also the Christ. He is the promised one. He is the one that the whole Old Testament looks forwards to. If you go through the Old Testament and look for anything that speaks of this Messiah, you see that Jesus ticks every one of the boxes. He is the Christ. And he is also Son of God, which means he is human and divine. He lived the perfect life of obedience that we could not live, and because he is Son of God, he can die and rise again, conquering sin, death, and the grave. Jesus is good news for sinners. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the gospel. Repent and believe in Jesus, and you shall be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. You will receive eternal life. But I'm sure you can see that there are two sides to this coin. Repent and believe. Good news. Refuse to repent and believe. Worse news. The truly bad news is that if you do not repent and believe in Jesus, you will stand before Jesus on Judgment Day, and you will be condemned to an eternity of anguish and torment and separation and suffering. It's a place called hell. So that brings us lastly to the beginning. See, it would be easy to pass over those opening words of Mark's Gospel as just the beginning. The opening words of Mark's Gospel. But boys and girls, what should the beginning remind us of when we think about the Bible? Where is the most important in the beginning in the Bible? Genesis 1 verse 1. Genesis 1 is the ultimate beginning. It's the beginning of all other beginnings. History begins with Genesis 1 verse 1. Before Genesis 1 there was God. After Genesis 1 there is God and all of creation. For those words in the beginning are also found in John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John wants us to know about something that happened in history, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that affected all of world history. So the beginnings of the Bible are always important. They describe events that are important for world history. And Mark wants us to consider something that is the beginning of a historical phenomenon. Something that affects history. And with Mark, it is the message about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, through Mark, wants us to see how the good news about Jesus affected the crowds that Jesus preached to and healed, and how the good news about Jesus affected Peter and the disciples. Having heard the good news, Peter and the disciples repented and believed. And so as we read earlier, Jesus rose and he said to the disciples, "Go and preach the good news to all of creation. Preach the euangelion. Preach the gospel. Preach Jesus Christ to all of creation. Call on everyone, everyone to repent and believe." So Mark tells us about the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And since that time, the good news has been proclaimed to many. Many have repented and believed, but many have not. As I was researching what gospel means, I noticed on Wikipedia's page, of all places, the following quote about the gospels. "The gospel tell their readers or hearers that Jesus was something special, and they expect them to respond accordingly. No neutral stance is possible in relation to a gospel. Depending on your response, its message will turn out either to be good news for you or bad. Which one is it?" Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you tell us in your word that your word never returns to you empty, but it always accomplishes the purposes for which you sent it. We pray that those purposes in relation to the message we have heard today might be salvation purposes in each one of us. We ask, O Lord, that you might create faith, that you might sustain faith, that you might build us up into the fullness of God, that you might cause us to become more and more mature, that you might make us more faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might give to each one of us a growing appreciation for the depth of the love that you have shown in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's sing of this good news as we turn to number 377 and stand and sing all of the stanzas. Number 377.